'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord, that could not be.
Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
Before I speak, I want to let you know about a special meeting we're going to have at the Todd's Road Grace Church next week, Labor Day weekend. We're going to have 4 different speakers preaching the sovereign grace of God in Christ Jesus. Election by the Father, redemption by the Son, regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Now, services begin Friday night at 7, Saturday morning at 10, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 10. And we'd love to have you come out and visit with us and hear the preaching of the gospel. Now, I am preaching this morning from Matthew chapter 11. I want to read verses 2 through 6, and I've entitled this message, Do You Doubt? Do you doubt? In verse 2 of Matthew chapter 11, Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, speaking of John the Baptist, he sent 2 of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? Now, at this time, he's expressing doubt. Are you he that should come, the promised Messiah? Or should we look for someone else? Now, the Lord doesn't rebuke John. I mean, John had been given abundant evidence that Jesus was the Christ. Irrefutable evidence. And yet, here he is doubting. And the Lord doesn't rebuke him. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again. Here's what John needs. Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Do you doubt? Now, John the Baptist did at this time. I'm asking the question to you. Do you doubt? I'm not saying it's a good thing. It's not. It's never right to doubt God, to have any doubts concerning Him. But do you doubt? Have you doubted whether or not the Bible is the Word of God? At least questioned it. Of course you have. Do I really know God? Is there really a God? Am I deceived? Do I know the truth? Do you doubt? I'm not asking you to give an audible answer, but deep down you know the answer to that question. Yes, you do. You do doubt. Somebody who says, I never doubt, is someone who is lying. That's all that can be said. It's a lie. Yes, you do doubt. Now, we have in the text the Lord's word to his doubting disciple, John the Baptist. You show John again those things which you see and hear. Now, before we consider John's question, do you know that when the risen Lord stood before the disciples, having been raised from the dead, we read in Matthew chapter 28, verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Looking at the Lord, these are the disciples. Looking at the resurrected Lord, they worshiped him and they doubted at the same time. Can you understand that? What about the man who had the demon-possessed son? And he brings him to the Lord to be healed. He said, if you can do anything, have mercy on us. Do something for us. And the Lord said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the scripture says the man cried out with tears, saying, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Can those two things exist at the same time? Of course they can. They did with him. I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You see, every believer has two natures. The one he was born with, and the one he was given when he was born again. That new nature always believes. That old nature never believes. Hence the cry of this man and every believer, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Now John, at this time, was in prison. John the Baptist. The same John that was foretold in the Old Testament, and both in the book of Isaiah and the book of Malachi. He's the only man other than the Lord himself who his coming was foretold in the Old Testament, the forerunner of the Christ. This is the same John who, when he was in his mother's womb and heard of the Christ, leaped. The babe leaped in his mother's womb. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. This is the same John who witnessed the Holy Spirit descend like a dove upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he heard the Father speak from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is the same one who baptized the Lord. When the Lord came to him, he said, I need to be baptized of thee. He knew exactly who he was. Comest thou to me? This is the one who said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. How did he doubt? What's going on here? This is the one of whom the Lord said, of them born of women, there's risen none greater than John the Baptist. This is the greatest man born of woman, according to the Lord Jesus himself. Now, how did he doubt? What's going on at this time? Now, John had been in prison probably about a year. Now, John the Baptist, as a youth, was in the wilderness. I don't know if he ever even lived in a house except when he was young, because he was in the wilderness as a youth. He lived under the stars. He was a free spirit. If you're going to hear the gospel, you're going to have to come out to him in the wilderness. And he was a man greatly used of God. The Lord said, with regard to this man, John the Baptist, he was a burning and a shining light. What a man, greatest man to ever live, as far as men go. And now he's gone from the open air to a dirty, dark, cramped prison cell. He's been in there for a year. He's shortly going to be beheaded. He's going to have somebody open up the cell, cut his head off, and bring it in on a plate to Herod's wife. He's probably depressed with his circumstances. I would be. You would be. Very difficult. He hears of Christ through his disciples, the things he was doing, and he sends his disciples to ask the Lord this question. Are you the Messiah? Are you he that should come, or should we be looking for somebody else? Now, some people say he's doing this for his disciples' benefit. Maybe they were questioning, and he's having them go and see for themselves, but I don't buy that. You'd have to read that into the text. You'd have to do, that's just some man's thought on it. This is John doubting as he's in prison. He has the same sinful nature that I do. He has the same sinful nature that you do. Sure, he can doubt. We're sinful individuals. That's what sinners do. They doubt. And he sends them with this question, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" Now, we're given a summary of the Old Testament message. Art thou he that should come? You see, the whole Old Testament message is this: somebody's coming. And everybody was looking for the Christ to return at that time. Do you remember when the woman at the well said, "I know that when Messiah comes, he'll teach us all things"? Everybody was looking for a Messiah. Everybody was looking for a Christ. He was promised in the Old Testament, and they knew he would come. Thing of it is, they were not looking for a Savior from sin. They were looking for a Savior from Roman tyranny. They were looking for a political Savior. They were looking for one who could take care of them physically. They didn't have an understanding of the need of a Savior from sin. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins." But he asked, "Are you the coming one?" You know, he said in Psalm 40, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. In the volume of the book it's written of me." Listen to this scripture from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. "But thou Bethlehem," remember that's where he was born, "thou Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth to me," that is to be ruler in Israel, "whose goings forth have been of old, from everlasting." Are you that one? The one Micah told us would come, whose goings forth have been of everlasting? Or should we look for somebody else? John, how can you ask this question when the Lord has shown you so clearly that he is the one? Now, the Lord doesn't rebuke him. I love this. The Lord doesn't rebuke his disciple, his faithful friend, the one he came to save. But he tells these two people, "You go and show John again," this is what he needs to hear, "those things which you see." And I have no doubt at that time he performed these miracles. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, all of these things he mentions that he demonstrated before these two disciples were foretold in the Old Testament. Listen to this scripture from Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5 and 6. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing." There were many prophecies in the Old Testament concerning what Messiah would do. And he said, "You go show John what you've seen." And at that time, they saw a man or men who were blind given sight. Can you imagine what that would be to be blind all your life? And then all of a sudden you see. You see colors for the first time. You see trees. You see people. What a miracle. They saw lame people. People have been lame all their lives, sitting on the ground, unable to walk. Get up and leap up and walk. They watched this. They saw lepers cleansed, men who were full of leprosy. All of a sudden, their flesh was healthy as a newborn baby's. They saw deaf people who had never heard a voice hear. They saw the dead raised up. I know on at least three different occasions the Lord raised the dead. There's only three recorded. There perhaps might have been other times. Maybe this is when they saw someone dead raised up. And the poor, have the gospel preached unto them, those who have nothing to recommend themselves to God, those who are debtors, those who are bankrupt, they have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, the first thing that I would see from that passage of Scripture is a description of everybody, me and you, by nature. Blind. Spiritually blind. Unable to see the true character of God. Blinded by our own false ideas of God. Blind with regard to our own sinfulness. Because we've never seen God, we don't see ourselves. Blind to the way of salvation by Christ. Seeing no beauty in the way of salvation by Christ. Spiritually blind. Lame. Unable to walk by faith. Unable to come to Christ because of a sinful nature. You know, the idea of free will is just ridiculous. A dead man is dead, lame, a lame man. What if you said to that lame man, if you decide to get up, you can get up. Come on, just make a decision to do it. You'd say, well, that's foolishness. Free will's foolishness. Your will is controlled by your nature, a sinful, lame, blind nature. Lepers, cleansed. Now, a lot of time in the Scriptures devoted to leprosy. It's a great type of sin. Leviticus 13 and 14, two whole chapters with regard to a leper and how they're cleansed. But they picture sin. They're made to cry out, unclean, stay away from me, unclean. The deaf hear. You may be able to hear audibly right now, but you can't hear the gospel. You're unable to. Only the person who has ears to hear, that God's given ears to hear, can hear. But the deaf hear. The dead are raised. And that's what happens when God gives a man life. He's dead in sins and God gives him life. The dead are raised. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. Those who have nothing to recommend themselves to God, those who have nothing, they have the gospel preached to them. Now, these people, blind, lame, leprous, deaf, dead, poor, and people who are actually offended by Christ. They have no love for Christ. How can somebody like that be saved? Well, the Bible says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. People like that. Matthew 1:21 says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, he's the one John sent the disciples to ask this question to. He came to the right source. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, he's God. He's not like God. He is God, God the Son. God is one God in three distinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Son came to this planet. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh. God came in the flesh. And in the flesh, he kept God's holy law. He wasn't spiritually blind. He wasn't spiritually deaf. He was no unclean leper. He never sinned. He worked out a perfect righteousness before the law of God. He knew no sin. Oh, the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think this is so interesting. The only man to never sin, and his brothers and sisters didn't get it. They didn't understand. They, the only holy man to ever live, and they didn't see it. They thought him to be a common man. That lets me know that natural man wouldn't know holiness if he saw it. They didn't see it in Christ. I've heard people say, I want people to see Christ in me. Well, I understand the sentiment, but they didn't see Christ in Christ. The only holy man to ever live. Yet this man, the man Christ Jesus, was nailed to a cross. Why? Why was he crucified? Now on that cross, he was blind. The whole world was turned into darkness and he could not see. Now the reason he was on that cross, the scripture tells us, he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That's why he was there. Acts chapter 4, verse 27 says, "For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel," that covers everybody, "were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." The reason Christ was nailed to a cross was because God's hand and counsel determined before for it to be done. He's called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lord created the universe for this to take place. His Son to come and die as the sinner's substitute. Now on the cross, he became blind in the dark. He became lame when his feet were nailed to a cross. He became the unclean leper when my sins became his sins, and he was bearing them in his own body on the tree. He became deaf. All he heard was silence, no communication from his Father, no word from his Father. He was in utter silence. He cried to God, there was silence. He died. The God-man died. Yes, he was raised from the dead, but the God-man died, and he became poor. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Now through what he did, the blind receive their sight. I now see how God can accept me because of what his Son did. I see how God can be just and punish sin and yet justify the sinner through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What I could not see, I see now. I now see the character of God. Every attribute of God manifest in Christ being on that cross, his holiness, his justice, his love, his mercy, his grace, his power, his wisdom. I see who God is, and I see who I am through him being nailed to the cross. I am sinful. I am full of sin, and I am so bad that I would kill Christ. That's what they did. They murdered his Son. That's what we're guilty of. That's how bad we are. Don't look within your heart to try to figure out how sinful you are. Look to the cross. That tells how really sinful you and I really are. But oh, I now see God's salvation. I see how God saves through Christ, that glorious work that he accomplished. I'm no longer lame. There was a time when I couldn't come to Christ. I come now. "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." The lepers are cleansed. Now you'll find this interesting if you would read the 13th chapter of Leviticus when it tells us about the cleansing of the leper. For a leper to be pronounced clean, he had to be completely covered with leprosy. If he had any part of his flesh that was still healthy, still living, not covered by leprosy, he was sent back to the leper colony. It was only when he was completely covered that he was pronounced clean. Now, if you ever hear the gospel, you're going to find out that everything about you is sin. Everything you do is sin. You're the unclean leper. And when you see that, that's when he's going to pronounce you clean, because Christ put away your sin. That is the way you are cleansed. The deaf hear. See, there was a time when I couldn't hear the gospel's good news. I heard it audibly, but I didn't like what I was hearing. I love what I'm hearing now. I love God's way of saving by Christ, by his grace. The dead are raised. Now, you really don't understand anything about being dead in sins until you have life. Then you see you were dead. While you're dead, you don't know it. But when you're given life, you see you were dead in sins. Now, what does dead in sins mean? Well, what can a dead man do? Nothing. What can a man dead in sins do to save himself? Nothing. He's dead. He can't hear, he can't see, he can't smell, he can't taste. He's dead. Now, when the scripture speaks of men being dead in sins, that's talking about total depravity. Every faculty under the control of sin, the will, the affections, the conscience, total depravity. It's summarized in Genesis 6:5. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of heart was only evil continually. It means total inability. You don't have the ability to save yourself. Now here is your only hope. God gave you life. That's what the new birth is. God quickening you and giving you life. Now, the poor, those who have nothing to recommend them to God, have the gospel preached unto them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, notice the wording, they're not offended in me. What's in Christ? All of God's favor, all of God's salvation, all of God's grace, all of God's love, all of God's mercy. It's all in Christ. It's nowhere else. It's in him. Now, the natural man's offended by Christ, or offended by what he says. We don't like what he says. You know, when they said, this man being a man maketh himself equal to God. Who is this that says he can forgive sins? They thought, as to whether or not we're forgiven, it's up to him. We don't like that. But when the Lord does something for someone, they're not offended by Christ. They love being saved by Christ. They are not offended by his person. They're not offended by his work. They want to be saved by him. They say with Paul, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him. When God comes looking for me, I only want to be found in Christ so that all God sees is Jesus Christ. That's what baptism signifies, being in him. When he lived, I lived. When he died, I died. When he was raised, I was raised. I want to be found in him. And I'm not offended by being in him. In reality, that's the only place I want to be. Now, let me remind you of our special meeting this coming week, Labor Day weekend, four different preachers, Friday night at 7, Saturday morning at 10, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 10, preaching the gospel of God's grace. We'd love to have you come out and hear the gospel at the Todd Road Grace Church. This is Todd Niebuhr, praying God will be pleased to make himself known to you. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.niebuhr@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.